And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left.
Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in.
Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me.
Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and fed thee, or thirst, and gave me drink?
When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked,
or when saw we the sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and said to them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of brethren, you have done it unto me. God bless you. You may be seated.
Michael, would you come this morning to take up our tithes and offering? Sing that chorus, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord, in the key of G. Amen. Do you want your cup to be filled this morning? We come into the house of the Lord to empty out and fill up with his love and word. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirst in of my soul. O bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Worship him with all your heart. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Sing it unto him as a prayer this morning. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirst in of my soul. Hallelujah. praise this morning. Hallelujah. Tell him how much you love him, Lord. I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Oh, hallelujah. Just thank him with all your heart this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have so much to be thankful for this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Joy of thy salvation, and renew the right spirit within me. Let's all stand as our brother Wade comes this morning. Oh, create in me. Let that be your prayer this morning. Oh, God, and renew the right spirit within me. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Within me.
created me a clean heart. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here again. Let's get these announcements out of the way. Number one, Sister Monica's Sunday school class. Please meet in the sanctuary at 12:40 to practice. 12:40, Sister Monica's Sunday school class. So keep that in your heart. Also, Bible Tabernacle will be having their 25th youth banquet, September 17th, 18th, and 19th. And I told you before, the 17th, we're going to play putt-putt, but Brother Joe Green said that if you wanted to come for the meeting Saturday and Sunday, that you're sure welcome to do that. And it's not any charge, but donations would be welcome. They were just charging the $30 for the banquet, which was on Friday night. So I see a lot of you have downstairs, you've signed up, so that's great. Just keep signing up if you want to come to the putt-putt. They're on the 17th between 7 and 9. Everybody got that? 7 and 9. I think it's written on there. All right. Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. And on September the 12th, we will have one service, Sunday morning service, and then the afternoon service will be conducted as a service, but we will be doing singing and testimony. So if you have a testimony, excuse me, or if you have a song on your heart, if you want three or four songs on your heart, you need to talk to Brother Joe, and we're just going to try to get have a mode of worship that day, and you're free to stay. It's not required. You don't have to, but there won't be any preaching that service. We will have worship, and we will have songs. If you want to practice a song, it's a good time for maybe a song leader. If he's got a song he needs to practice, then we can practice it all together. So we'll have, I promise you, once we get started, it'll probably run as long or longer than the regular service does. Amen. So I just thought in my heart to do that, and it keeps coming back. So we're going to do it on the 12th, because Brother Luis and Sister Christine is going to be gone the next weekend. So we didn't change it just for them, but we changed it so we could all be here and that we could gather together and worship. Amen. Also remember, on September the 25th, Brother Andrew Glover will be here that weekend with us. That will be our youth service. We'll be getting that together since it will be September on Wednesday. All right. Also, it was spoken of a Brother Royale. Now, he does not have COVID anymore. He's COVID free. Amen. Amen. But he's been there so long, the dialysis is, but it's all working, and his heart's held up good. And we're just praying that the Lord will wean him off all that other, but he is COVID free. There is no COVID. He has got through all that, and he doesn't have COVID anymore, but it has racked his body so much until, hey, if God take him through that, he'll take him through all the others. Amen. Also, I want to thank you for your prayers, for Friday and Saturday. I was in the hospital there for a couple of days, and there was something that happened. I know y'all prayed for me. I know y'all did. Everybody did. But I was getting ready to do a stress test. And I get two little pictures text to me. One of them was the Bonnet Girls standing up for me. And one was little Zoe Urego playing me a song on the piano. Now, I'm not belittling anybody's prayer, but those two touched me more than anything. Because that's God's kids. And for them to be able to do that. And I want you to pray, because I want to read you this quote, because I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I've been struggling for a while from different things, but it's been moving around, and it's kind of like they're shooting at it with a shotgun. And so when they put me in the hospital Friday, I said, look, don't want to go home until we find out everything from nose to toes. And I'll tell y'all one more time, I do have a brain. It's documented. And I do have a heart. It's documented. Okay? So now I just want to get that out of the way. So don't call me heartless and brainless anymore. But they put me through every test Saturday. Stress test, nuclear, what did I tell you, what an EKG, what was it? Echocardiogram, what was the one where they do the echo? Echocardiogram. They did echo at 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock Saturday morning. They did every test and they all came back fine. Amen? But when I walked out of the hospital, I had the same symptoms when I walked in. I was just about $10,000 lighter in money. And that puts a lot of stress. Now the insurance will pay for most of that. But still, going through all that 2 days, and then you walk out with the same symptoms, it just makes you think about things, you know. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with me as far as I know. Internally, they did a CT scan from here down. They did one up here the other day. I did the stress test. I stayed on the treadmill for 8.5 minutes on an incline. And I did fine. Didn't fall out. And they checked my heart and it was fine. Oh, I want to tell you something before we get started. I did talk to the cardiologist. And here's my, wait a minute. I'm on my soapbox now. He said the worst problem that he is having is with young people coming into that place and having their heart checked, and the walls of their heart are thinning out, and their heart is enlarging because of, I'm going to hurt your feelings, Monster, Red Bull, all those energy drinks. He said they're killing our young people. Now, I'm just telling you what he said. He said it's enlarging their heart beforehand. And he said, if you have any children, he said, and Deanna drinks them every once in a while too, so I'm going to get on to her. But you need to stop drinking those energy drinks. I mean, why would you drink something with a monster with a claw on the side of it? I thought we was trying to get away from the market. I mean, the beast. I'm drinking a monster to help me. I'm just telling you what the doctor said. He said their heart's enlarging because it's eating the muscles on the inside of the heart because of all that caffeine and all that stuff. And he said whatever was in that, he said 30 years ago, FDA took it off the market because it was some kind of something that was killing people because they were doing it for diet. You know, it was revving them up. Whatever that chemical is. He said they just a few years later, they just run it right back in under a different name and put it in the Red Bull and all that other stuff. So be careful. Be careful. I mean, listen, we do need, and my point is we need to, well, God's going to take care of us, but let's just try to take care of some of the things our own self. That's, you know, like we all need to eat a little better and go on a diet maybe a little bit. So I'm going to read you this quote though, because this is something that I was thinking about yesterday. Because when that lady came in, and I know I'm holding you up for a minute, but you know what? You stand up, you don't fall asleep. Amen. So the lady walked in and she said, well, she said, I guess I got good news. I said, what do you mean? You guess you got good news? She said, well, there's nothing wrong with your heart. She said, but if you're still having those symptoms, we don't know what it is. Because, I mean, they checked me all the way. I mean, you can see my blood work. Blood work's fine. I did get a cough, but I did get a COVID test, and it was negative. So thank God for that. But only listen to this quote. The kind Heavenly Father, as this woman is seeking to have life and to be rid of this misery, standing before this audience tonight, I pray for our Lord with all my heart. And your servants, the doctors, has tried to relieve her of this, but has failed to do it. But thou wilt not fail. Amen. We still believe that God's alive, right?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, thou wilt not fail. You're God. And you can't fail. And now, Satan, to you that's bound this woman, you've hid it from the doctors. But you can't hide it from God. Come out of this woman in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the discernment we need to look for. Sure, we lean on doctors, but Satan can try to hide all he wants to. But I was talking to Richard Douglas yesterday, and he said, man, he said, you wouldn't believe at all the sicknesses and COVID and all that the fivefold ministry is going around the world being afflicted by it. So we must be doing something right. But I need to find out what this is going on in my body, because I feel just the same as I did $10,000 ago. But now the doctors did what they said they was going to do. They said, you're fine. There's nothing there. No abnormalities, no, you know, nothing's enlarged. And but you just pray. Not just for my health. You just pray that God will show that thing. And I can get rid of it. Because I'm tired of it. I'm tired and I'm tired of it. Amen. So Brother Bob's going to preach this afternoon. And just pray for us. And like I said, let's pray that prayer. You can talk to Satan. He talks to you all the time, don't he? Hello? He talks to you probably more than God does. Right? So let's talk to Satan and say, look, buddy, time for you to leave. I want him to be uncomfortable. Listen, I want him to be uncomfortable in this thing. This is where I want him to be uncomfortable. I want him to be uncomfortable in this thing first, and then everything else will take care of itself. But you just keep us in prayer. We'll all do the best we can. Nobody's gonna stop. Lord of mercy. Why in the world will we stop? We got too much to do. All right, let's go to the eternal plan of redemption. Part 32. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We appreciate the time that we have, Lord, to speak to your bride. Now we pray, Lord, that you'd sanctify us for this journey. Lord, you said you would equip us with everything we needed. And Lord, I pray that we'll pick up the sword and pick up the shield and take the armor. And Lord, we'll take, as the prophet said one time, we'll take it to the heart of the enemy and take care of him, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with each one around the world, Lord, that it does seem like the little bride's being beat up by Satan and all these different diseases and anxieties and cares of life. But you promised we'd make it. You promised you would equip a bride to make it in the end time. So Lord, we must come into that holy of holies to where nothing else can be there except for me and you are the bride and you, Lord. That's what we're looking at, Father, because we're talking about a millennium now in just a minute, where we're going to sit with you and rule and reign 1,000 years, and we're going to be able to talk to you, Lord. We're going to be able to do as the old man told Brother Branham, said, I don't care about anything else. Just let me look at him for 1,000 years. Just let me look at him for that whole 1,000 years. So, Lord, I want to see you now in your people. I want to see you now in your word made manifest through the people. And, Father, we pray that you'd be with each one. Take care of us and sanctify us for this journey, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry, I usually don't boohoo. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is to say, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Revelation 11:3, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And Isaiah 65:17, we'll try to get to that today. For behold, I create new heavens. Now we know it's not going to be an annihilation and a creation. He's going to do just like he did you. He didn't annihilate you. He just burnt you off by the Holy Ghost in fire, burnt the old you out, and put the Holy Ghost inside. Well, that's what he's going to do. I was reading a quote a minute ago. Brother Brown said, we won't need the Holy Ghost in the millennium. We need it now. We don't need it over there, because we will be the Holy Ghost. We will be anointing to the temple. We won't need the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us. We'll be in perfection there with the Lord Jesus. But behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. You may be seated, and the Lord has his blessing to the reading of the word. So we'll just fly through this real quick. God bless you for being here today. You know, We've struggled for a long time, all of us. We've all been through battles, but it'll be over pretty soon. Amen. Amen. It'll be over. Matthew 16:15, now we were talking about, and I hope you can, that you see this, Simon says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. A revelation of the Son of God, that he's going to come back on the day of Pentecost, he's going to indwell a group of people, and they're going to be little Jesuses for 2,000 years. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right? And the gates of hell, which we know the gates of hell is right here, shall not prevail against it. So we need to truly understand, and we'll get into it a little bit further as we finish this. We'll get into the Son of Man and see what the Son of Man is. We'll start back. Aaron and different ones have been talking about it, but we're going to start back in the Old Testament and bring that Son of Man all the way into the New Testament and to where right here. Because this is the age of the Son of Man. As Brother Claude was talking about, the age of Aquarius, which is the water boy, which is the only man in the zodiac, right? With the water pot. Amen? So Son of Man is what we're not going to deal with today. But that's what's got to come before we take a rapture. The revelation of the Son of Man has got to come before we take a rapture. And we already talked about that a little bit, but let's go to Revelation 4:1, because after that comes up, we're going to be caught up. Come up hither, and I'll show you things which be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now that's our rapture. Now remember the time periods. The time periods are going to be, the first 2,000 years was from Adam to the flood. Everybody got that? The first 2,000 years was Adam to the flood. Then from the flood to Christ, from Christ to 2000 or now, the 2000 church ages. And then there's going to be a millennial reign that's going to happen later on after that. So you got all these dispensations. You and I are in what? We're in the bride or the Gentile dispensation. And we're waiting now for the Son of Man, and then not waiting, but, you know, for the full manifestation, that everything will come to pass, and that we will take a body change, we which are alive and remain. Me and Brother Russ were talking about this yesterday. He's still really hung on that, because, see, that's a promise, that if you and I don't see that promise, we're not going to make it. We which are alive and remain. That's us. We shall not sleep. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's what you've got. Somebody's got to stand up and say, that's me. Amen? Amen? So now, as we do that and we go and take a rapture, then we know what's going to happen. The tribulation, according to Matthew 24:21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time no ever shall be. Listen, we think this is just nothing compared to what's going to happen. Nothing compared to what's going to happen. Okay, what's going to happen is we're going to absolutely get out of here, and then it's going to be the wrath of God poured out on a sinless nation, amen, and a sinless world. And then we know in just a few minutes what happens to that. God goes to Israel and speaking to them to do what? Bring their dispensation into being. The 3.5 years that they get of the calling out of the 144,000, Matthew 24 says, for there shall be great tribulation, such as not since the time of the world of this time, nor ever shall be. Now, Revelation 2:20, there is a time in that 2,000 years, because this is the church ages, there's a time in that 2,000 years that God's going to give the church, because the woman Jezebel, that's a church, he's going to give the church time to repent. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And they did not. They did not. They took those deeds and made them doctrines. As you'll see in the church ages, if you'll study your church ages like we always have, that it goes saying, deed, doctrine. They made a doctrine on all those deeds. And what was it? Trinity. Three unclean spirits like frogs. All the different things like that. That's what they are living under. Not us. Now, Revelation 13:4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. Now, see, we're not going to be here. We're going to be gone. We're not going to see this. But this is going to happen, because it says they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. Now, we're talking about the United States and and the different ones giving power to Rome or to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is likened to the beast, who is able to make war with him? It's like I told you before. He's going to do some miracles. He's going to be allowed to do some miracles that's going to turn the whole world toward this one man. But it's going to be the most godless person that ever stepped foot on the earth. It's going to be the Antichrist. The epitome of the Antichrist. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 3.5 years or 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. Power is given him all kindred. Look at the power that was given this guy. Kindred, tongues, and nations. Look, and all that dwell on the earth. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, you can't be deceived. Now, you can be confused, but you can't be deceived. If you've got the true baptism of the Holy Ghost today, you can't be deceived. You can, like I said before, you can be confused. Or you can have questions, or you can have these things in your mind or in your heart. But you can't be deceived, because what's deceiving the world out there now? That doctrine of the water baptism, all the different doctrines, like Brother Bob was talking about, the cutting of the hair. I mean, you go out there and they're just taking what they want in the world. They're pulling out what Bible parts they want and putting in parts that don't need to be there. And they're just what? So they're worshiping Satan. Thinking they're worshiping God. What a deception in this end time. That really makes you shivers run down your spine. Because you know what? You were caught up in that system before you got born again. You and I were caught up in that very system before you were born again. And if you're not born again, you're still caught up in that system. It doesn't matter where you sit.
Amen.
It doesn't make any difference where you're sitting at today. If you're not born again, you're in that system. Because all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let's go to Revelation 11:3. Now this, after the Gentile dispensation's over, he's going to give power to two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Now who is that? Two witnesses. They're going to prophesy what? They're going to 3.5 year message to Israel. That's all they're going to get.
Amen.
That's all they're promised to get. And they're to pull out 144,000. And they've got all kinds of power too. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Now listen, fire's not going to come out of their mouth. It's going to be the word that they speak. Amen. So it's the word that comes out of their mouth that they're speaking. Just like me and you. You got to believe that. That your word has power. If you're speaking the word of God and you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's mechanics and dynamics. Everybody says we're waiting on, you know, we got mechanics, we're waiting on dynamics. If you got the new birth, you got the dynamics. The mechanics is this. The dynamics is what you read of it and believe it and have faith in it and know that it's right. Regardless of whatever happens. Regardless if your best friend or your neighbor quits the message or your pastor quits the message and whatever you want to call it. You stay with the message. You stay with the message of the hour. Because that's what's going to carry us through. And then that same anointing is going to go after this dispensation is over. Where is it going? It's going right over to the Jews for 3.5 years. And they're going to preach the power that you and I get at the end. It's just going to carry right over into the Jews. And they're going to have, see, look, you say, well, this is only to them. Well, listen, for us to get out of here, we got to have some miracles happen too. We need some miracles right now. I was reading a quote from Brother Branham and talking about two people asking about the millennium. Said, and Dad's quoted it many times. Brother Branham says, they said, we need sons of God in the millennium. He said, we don't need sons of God in the millennium. He said, we need them now.
Right.
He said, we don't need healing in the millennium. He said, we need healing now.
Right.
So we need this now that we can, that fire can proceed out of our mouth, and what we say is going to come to pass. You just keep speaking it and let God take care of the rest, okay? Because listen, you can't make it happen. But you can be available when it happens. When God wants it to happen, you put yourself available and God will use your vessel and make whatever X, Y, Z that you want to put in there to make it happen. Just to get through life a lot of times that way. So Daniel 9:24, let's go to the real quick. I want to try to get to millennium. 70 weeks. Remember, it takes 490 years. Now remember, I was thinking about this today. Take 490 years, so because it's 70 weeks times 7. 7 sevens is 49. So 490 years for them to come to redemption. Now to me and you, that's no dates or times. We come to redemption as Gentiles, as individuals. They're coming as a nation. They're coming as a nation, as a people, and as a city. All right? That's how God deals with the Jews. That's always how he wanted to deal with the Jews. Everybody got that? So 70 weeks, what's 70 times 7? 490 years. Because that, remember, 7 sevens keeps you in church ages. Everybody understand that? The millennium will be the golden jubilee. It will be after the 490 years is over with. It'll be one extra day. It'll put us in the millennium, which will be the jubilee year. Now see, we get a jubilee year spiritually. Our release to go free is when our bodies change and we go up in a rapture. But over there in Israel though, their 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city to do those six things. What? To restore Israel back, to bring them back to redemption and bring a city into view. All right? Everybody got that. So 70 weeks, 7 sevens is 490 years, 483 has already been taken care of to Calvary. Then there's 1 week left after the rapture. And when that week is over, that's the end of the 490. That's still the 7 sevens. Then you go into the golden jubilee, which is a millennium, and that's what they're going to. That's why it's not to us. It's to the Jews. It's not to us. Okay? Let's read Jeremiah. Because they're going to have, listen, they're going to have to pay for their sins. Even you and me, as Christians, we are going to have to pay for our sins. The ones we don't confess. Everybody got that? That's why you want to pray without ceasing. And ask God to forgive you every day of the little things that you do. Because look, but that great day that none is like it is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will break his yoke from off of the neck and will burst thy bonds. Listen, they've been bound for 2,000 years. When they rejected Christ at the cross and said, let his blood be on us and our children, then all the generations during the Gentile age that we just talked about, the Jews are being persecuted. We talk about the 6.5 million because that's the ones we read about. But go back, way back to AD 70, when they were dispersed, a lot of them went to Russia and they persecuted them in Russia, put them in a thing called a ghetto. Everybody know what a ghetto is? You know, that's the word we ghetto. Well, the ghetto didn't come from where you think it came from. It came from Russia taking the Jews and sticking them into a piece of the city and kind of building a wall around them and said, that's where you go. That's your ghetto. That's where you go. And they were living in poverty and all these different things. So they've been persecuted everywhere they went. But like I said before, even Scofield realizes that even though a Jew is an outcast to us, everywhere they go, that nation prospers. Because God's going to take those nations though, here in just a minute, we'll read it. God's going to take those nations that he dispersed them into, and he's going to destroy every one of them. He's going to destroy every one of those nations. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. See, strangers. Listen, we're dogs, remember, to the Jews. But they've been serving us for 2,000 years. Because they're not back. Now look. Now they're back in the homeland. Now they're a nation. Now they've got their own this and that and the other. Now they've got their own, and they're back inside the Jerusalem, the homeland. So what's God doing? He's bringing them back wherever he dispersed them from. He's bringing them back. Look, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now remember, it's not It's not David the person. It's the son of David, which is Jesus Christ, that he promised would sit on the throne during the millennium. All right? And David their king, who I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob. And who is Jacob? Israel. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. Russia, United States, Germany, wherever they've been dispersed to. And then God's going to do what? Destroy those nations. The Battle of Armageddon is going to be all the nations that are destroyed. Thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest. He's talking about the millennium. And be quiet, because look, they're not resting over there now, even though they're in their homeland. I mean, they're dropping, read about it. You don't really read about it over here, but they drop 20, 30 bombs a day over there. They just keep throwing them at each other all the time. So there's the sirens going off and planes going over, and there's no rest, but they will have a rest in the millennium, I promise you that. Amen? Because listen, we entered into our rest by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then we get a new body because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's our rest. And then we go to a wedding supper, and then we're resting. Then when we come back to the millennium, we're resting still. Because why would you want your wife, new wife? Brother Brown said one time, why would you want your new wife to get out and work in the yard and build vineyards and build houses? And I know we've done it before, but God's not going to do that to you. Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, according to Daniel 70 weeks. Though I make a full end of, look, of all nations, whether I have scattered thee. So he's, like I said before, he's going to make all those 10 kingdoms and all those things. The Battle of Armageddon is going to do away with every one of them. Because they persecuted the Jews. Everywhere they've been persecuted. Even the United States at one time, they've been persecuted. Right. All right? Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. He's making them a promise. He's not going to destroy them. He's going to bring them back into the homeland. But now look, but I will correct thee in measure. They did something back there that God can't forget. They put him on a cross. But he made eternal redemption for them. Because they're part of this plan of eternal redemption. So thank God for that. And I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. He's going to punish them, but he's not going to punish them like he's going to punish this world. Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. Stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now listen, we're not here, so don't worry about it. If you're watching in tonight and you live on an island, don't worry about it. If you're born again, you're not going to be there. But that island is going to crash into the sea sometime after that we get out of here. And before the Battle of Armageddon or somewhere around that time, I was reading too where Brother Brown was talking about Laodicea. Do you know Laodicea? What was Laodicea destroyed by? The literal town, city in Asia Minor was destroyed by a series of earthquakes. It just fell right over into the sea. He said, so will happen at the end of this age. A series of earthquakes will just break this place to pieces. So this is going to happen worse, though, because we're not going to be here. We might have go through a few earthquakes And Lord, we need to pray for those people in New Orleans. I don't know what's going on, but that was one of the biggest hurricanes they said has ever hit the that area down there in New Orleans. So just pray for the people. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in dens in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, look, nobody's going to be able to stand. No one's going to be able to stand that. All right, everybody got that? Say amen. All right, now the seventh seal. Let's read this quote. Notice there's a whole earth to be purged. There will be such a thing that the moon, stars, and all nature will be purged. You see what it is? The earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. The millennium's coming up, and see, everything has got any filth on it. is to be purged during that sixth seal. Now, what time element is that under? The two prophets. They open the sixth seal. So the two prophets open these happenings before the millennium takes place. All right? So now let's go to Revelation 7:1. Try to get through this to get to the millennium. Now, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. What are winds? Wars. That the wind would not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants. Now, Brother Bram said, that's not bride. We're not servants. We're bride. But the 144,000 are servants because they lost their position when they put Jesus on the cross. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. Now, see, remember, under the Gentile dispensation, it's many tongues, nations. You can't even count them, but you can count these. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, what's going to happen is Daniel 9:27, when that sealing is over, the Satan, the Antichrist, whatever you want, the beast, he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is right after we leave, but in the midst of that week, so after 3.5 years of that preaching that's over with, he's going to break the covenant. He's going to step on the scene and he's going to say, I'm God. Worship me, I'm God. Well, God's not going to be able to stand for that. In Revelation 11, verse 7, even as we see that when they had finished their testimony, the beast ascended out of the bottomless pit to make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. They're going to lay in the street, but what's going to happen? They're going to take a rapture. They're going to be raised from the dead, then the 144,000, and they're going to take a rapture. Now, let's go to number 2 in the 70th week of Daniel. All right. Now, let me stop here just a minute. As you might know beyond one shadow of a doubt, I just wouldn't take that one place. I can take it through the entire scripture. Prove to you that 7 days, 1 week is 7 years in the Bible. I just did it in Revelation, the 13th chapter, or 11th chapter. All right, look. Then prophets will prophesy, 1,203 score days, which is in the midst of the last week of the Jews. Then they're cut off and Armageddon sets in. So the two witnesses leave, the 144,000 leave. He breaks that covenant with the, listen, he didn't break the covenant with the 144,000. Just like me and you, we never were in a church age. If you're born again, you were called out of the church age. They got born again. They got called out of that, whatever that age is. And they're going to be gone before the Battle of Armageddon sets in. All right? I'm trying to get to order it down here. Now, number 3. Now, when he gets the money, all that under control, then he'll break this covenant with the Jews, as Daniel said he would do. In the midst of the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. Then, brother, what will he do? He'll have all the world's trade and commerce packed with the world. Listen, he's going to have everything under his control. Everything. And during that time, the two prophets will rise on the scene and call 144,000. Then what will take place? Then the mark of the beast of Revelations will set in. Because he holds all the commerce, trade, and everything of the world. What will take place then? The mark of the beast will come. And that no man can buy or sell except him that has the mark of the beast. So they're all going to, listen, before you got born again, what was your whole life centered around? Making money. And finding how to make more money. And how to have more stuff. Amen? Well, that's what these people do because they're not born again. They want stuff. So they go to the person that's got the stuff. And they really don't care what they got to do. They say, okay, we'll do whatever we need to do. Just, we need to buy ourselves some of this gold or whatever it is. But look, thank God the church will be enjoying a great 3.5 years in glory. We don't have to go through that. Thank God. We don't have to go through that. All right, let's go to Revelation 19:6. The Bible says, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife has made herself ready. Now this is we're in the rapture. We're caught up. It said, blessed is he that's called up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we're going to a marriage supper. Like I said before, it does not matter how long we're going to be there because we're not going to be in time. Okay? But we know that a time element has got to be on earth the 3.5 years of the preaching of the two witnesses. So that's how we know that. All right? Now, let's go to Revelation 16:13. This is where I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. See, we think the president's powerful. He's just a puppet to this guy. Every other nation is just a puppet to this guy. Even now, all that's working, folks. It's not just one day they're going to walk up and go, oh, this great beast. No, they're working on it right now. It's all working on right now. And listen, I believe the 144,000 is over in Israel. And those two witnesses may be over there too. Because we're so close to getting out of here, they got to be raised up. They can't be little children. They got to be over there. So look, everything's in place. All the actors are here. We're just getting ready to, what, do forward the play as far as what we're talking about. Brother Brown says acts of a play. And that's what we're doing. We're playing out what the world, what the Bible told us that we're going to play out. Where was I? To gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Why are they going to do that? They're going to gather together in a place called Armageddon. So when they do that, they're going to be fighting for control of the whole world. All right? They think they're fighting for it now, but they're going to really be fighting for it then. So let's go to number 4. We get through this. Yeah, we'll not read it. Y'all know what that is. The great battle of Armageddon, it'll finally wind up. That'll be the last of it. When she comes to the battle of Armageddon, that'll settle the whole thing. Just before the great millennium, Armageddon is to clean off the earth. She repurifies herself with this atomic blowing. So it's going to be an atomic battle. It's not going to kill demons. It's not going to kill spirits. They're just going to be suppressed for a while. We'll read that in a minute. And a volcanic ash and things sink this soaked blood of men and upon the earth and sin and crime. She sinks beneath the earth and the volcanic breaks out again and renews. Cleans the earth for the great millennium. So now, let's go to Ezekiel 40. This is when the millennium temple is going to be built. And the vision of God. Now, who's Ezekiel? A prophet to Israel. Not a prophet to the Gentiles. He's a prophet to Israel. All right. So his prophecy is to Israel. And the vision of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. In other words, what did he do? He showed him the whole dimensions of this city, because remember, it's got to be to thy people and the holy city. City's got to be built. That city's got to be restored according to Daniel 9:24. And it's got to be done within that 490 years. That's why they can't just be 3.5 years after the rapture to finish Daniel 70 weeks. There's got to be 1 week. Because the Battle of Armageddon starts in the middle of it. It's not going to be a one-day battle. And then they're going to come down and build. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. They're going to come down and build this temple. Because you and I, what? We're not getting any calluses on our fingers. No, we're done. Why do they call it rest? Come to me, all you laboring heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Brother Brown said that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, we fight for every inch of ground, even with the Holy Ghost. But listen, if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, think of all the rest that you're going to have later on. Oh, my. Listen, you can't fathom. Because, number one, we're time creatures. Number two, we hurt and ache all over the place. We're getting older. But that's going to totally reverse one day. And the former things will be passed away. Behold, what? All things will be made new. Son of man, behold with thine eyes and hear with thine ears and set thine heart upon all that I should show thee. So there's an intention for him doing this. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. Not to me and you. We don't build temples. We don't build cities. Listen, our future home is still not showed up yet. And we don't build it at all. Brother Bram said he builds it according to your desire. Amen? So you don't have to build any of that. Because once reading this, we must realize that when we read these scriptures, Brother Bram says some of these scriptures you can overlay them for the millennium and the future home. But some you cannot. You have to separate them. Because it says they'll build houses and inhabit and all this stuff. That's not a future home. John says, I saw the holy city come down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. So there's your difference. So now let's read number 5. The sixfold purpose. There will be an anointing when the most holy place will be anointed. So they're going to build the temple. But now remember, they're servants. They're not bride. So they're going to build the temple and be servants in the temple. But who's going to be the anointing? Listen, it only took a prophet to tell us this. That the secret of this whole thing is that you're the anointing to the temple. Amen. That you and Jesus Christ are so much one. To your husband and wife. Husband and wife is way more one than husband and servant. Or wife and servant. Right. Your husband and wife are one. That's what's been given to me and you. So you and I, listen, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we are the Holy of Holies. There's not a building over there we got to go find the Holy of Holies. You walk around with the Holy of Holies inside of you every day. Amen. Amen? Every day. Listen, if you'll think about that, if you'll think about that, we'll quit acting the way we're acting. When you say that that thing was so revered and so precious that if one thing was off, the priest died. One little thing. God said, do this. If one thing was off, it meant his life. Right. Me and you walk in that every day. Amen. Every day. Come boldly to the throne. The Holy of Holies has been opened up. Yep. What? And let the world see who it is.
Right.
Thank God for the Old Testament to give the types and shadows.
Yes.
And see, that's what's blinded the Jews, though, folks. Right. They think they got to get back to that temple. Literal temple. Literal sacrifices. And when them 144,000 walk up and say, sorry, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. They're going to hate them. They're not going to like them at all. They're going to be persecuted by their own people. Amen? There will be anointing when the most holy place will be anointed. The holy, holiest of holies, the most holy. The most holy place is a sanctuary where God lived between the cherubims in this time. Christ will sit in the most holy place with the anointing upon him. Now, who is the anointing? Me and you. You and I are the anointing to that temple, according to what the prophet said. So we ride back, according to Revelation 19. Let's read that real quick. Now, remember, we read Revelation 19. First of it said the bride or wife has made herself ready. Then there's all that singing and praising, and then all of a sudden, we show back up again. In the end of Revelations 11 through 16, and I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head was many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and roll it on up. And his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. What? Not a sword. A word. That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He had on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written. Look, capital letters, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The people that are behind him have become him. There's no lesser L's or no lesser K's. They've all become one. When we ride back in the millennium, listen, the whole world will know who we are. The whole world that's going to be raised up, the whole world that's the 144,000, all those people, whoever's going to be in the millennium is going to know that you and I are Mrs. Jesus Christ. Not another person, not a different person, but the same person made manifest in another form called his bride. All right, so now let's start. This is starting the millennium right here real quick. It's just 11:30. All right, let's go. We won't read the chart. Just go to, because you know these things. What was it? Let's read this right here. Oh, we got two to read. What is it? His people had just crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember, he had many crowns. Coming back to his holy temple, anointed with the presence of God, to live and reign through the millennium with his church, bride, the appearing with the mighty king to take her place at his side, the new royal anointed temple. I like that. Now look what he says down here below that. Scroll it on up, please. Now the sixfold purpose of Revelation 6:1 to Revelation 19:21 is fulfilled. Revelation 6:1 to 19:21 is fulfilled. Why? The bride has come back with the groom. The world's been wiped off. A temple's been built. They're getting ready for that Jubilee year. That 1,000 years that nobody's going to do anything but just rest. And what's going to happen is we're going to come riding into that temple and we're going to walk into that Holy of Holies. And the sixfold purpose of Revelation 6:1 to 19:21 will be fulfilled. Can't be fulfilled until me and you go in that temple. Let's read number 7. Now notice, that's where we've seen her coming back to the millennial temple. Her, bride, her. Back to the millennial temple over here at the end of the Jewish age. What is the end of the Jewish age? The end of the 490 years. Right? Everybody got that? It's the end of the 70 times 7. Here he comes riding on a white horse. Those followed him on white horses, powers, dressed in white, blood or vesture dipped in blood, wrote on him the word of God. He cometh the mighty conqueror, yes sir, to set up what? To set up the millennium, coming to the temple, glory, there he meets. Because see, remember, the 144,000 don't go to the marriage supper. They're not bride.
Right.
They're down here building the temple.
Right.
And once they get it built, here we come back to meet the 144,000. And they see us walking in and they go, so this is what it's all about. We've been building this waiting on them to get here. Our great King David. Now why do we have to have a millennium? We covered it a little bit, but now remember, I want you to think about this. The millennium and the future home is different in one major point, one major way. Everybody wake up a minute. Bob, you're going to have trouble this afternoon, buddy. Unless they take an unsleeping pill. I don't know if they ever make one of those. Don't drink a monster. I don't care if you fall asleep. Don't drink a monster. Stop drinking them things. Rebuke you right from the pulpit. You either. Good job, Michael. I wanted him to confess that. It's okay. You're all right. You okay? You good. I lost my whole train of thought. What was I talking about? People being asleep. No, listen. I got it. I know what I'm talking about. The millennium is a time element. So everything that happens in the millennium will have an end to it. Everything. All
right,
now future home is eternal and nothing will have an end to it. Everybody got that? Because between the millennium and the 1,000 years, you got a battle of Gog and Magog that's going to destroy the world again. But this time it's going to destroy the demons. It's going to destroy the beast and the false prophet. Then there's going to be a new city. There'll never be a change anymore after that. That's the one that me and you, now see, that's where you and I, we've waited that whole time. Cause that's our city. John taught the bride, right? John saw the city coming down out of heaven, so it's coming from heaven, from another dimension. Jesus said what? Behold, I go prepare a what? Place for you. That where I am, you will be there also. That's not the millennium. Now see, you can take that double. It is talking about the millennium. Or you can take it a triple meaning. He's with you now.
Right.
And then we go to the millennium, but that's, remember, honeymoon. But we're looking past that 1,000 years to that one home that he promised he'd build.
Right.
Not me and you build. He'll build it for us.
Amen.
by what? By your desires. And we'll read that later on. But as we read this, remember, the millennium is a time element. It is in the old seventh day rest. God created the world in 6,000 years, or 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. That is the millennium to the people. So everybody got that? So as we go through this, be careful how you put this in. Because remember, the new heavens and new earth that's coming down out from John is a different city than the city we're going to live in the millennium. Remember, the city in the millennium that we're going to live in was made by the Jews, the 144,000. And it will be destroyed again because we won't need a temple. Isn't that what the Bible says? We'll get into that later on. Revelation says they won't need a light, won't need a temple. When we go to that new city, there won't be any temples like that. Amen? All right, let's go to 2 Peter. Why do we have to have 1,000 years? Ladies, is that on the front row? Why do we have to have 1,000 years? Okay, I'm going to tell you. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Boy, got you off the hook on that one, didn't I? All right, let's go to the next scripture that tells us what this is all about. Look, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. Now, did they eat of that tree? Yes, they did. Right? And they died. Methuselah lived how long? How much? 969. He got close to 1,000. Adam was 900. Methuselah, all the different, Lamech and all those different ones was 900. Can you imagine living 900 years? Brother Darty, can you imagine living 900 years? He said about 80 is about good enough for you, right? For in the day, now remember, the day that they partook in the garden, they did not die physically. Right? They died spiritually because of this thing. Not in their soul, but this thing fell. All right. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So they did partake of the tree of life. They did eat from it, and they never lived 1,000 years. Everybody got that? But to show that the sin curse is gone, and that now a new Eden has been restored, man's going to live 1,000 years. So somebody's going to live a literal 1,000 calendar, 360 day year. So let's go to Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. There's not going to be a bunch of earths. There are going to be a bunch of heavens, but there's only going to be one earth. For behold, that's what the Bible says. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing and her people in joy. Now, that's not Jews. I mean, that's Jews. That's not Gentiles. So the millennium is to the Jews. I create Jerusalem rejoicing and her people joy. Listen, you and I are going to be in eternal bodies. No time element at all. Not going to matter to us how many days and weeks and months and years that we were there. Amen? But what a paradox, though, because we're going to come down into the time element again. We left the time element, took a body change, left the time element, brought that body. But listen, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He left time. Went to eternity, come back down to time, walked through a wall, spent 30, 40 days with him, and ascended back up, and he didn't get finished. He come right back down again on the day of Pentecost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and my joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard. Listen, this promise. In her nor the voice of crying. There should be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. Now this part, I'm telling you, I'm just honest. I don't understand where this fits in. Maybe some of you do, and you can help me out with it. I'll be sure appreciative of it. For the child shall die 100 years old. Brother Brown said we don't die in the millennium. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. In other words, give it to another generation. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with him. Look, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. Man, we ain't got rid of them in the millennium. I thought we could get rid of them snakes. I just thought snakes wouldn't be there. I don't like snakes. I do. I like them in two pieces. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. He's restoring it back. Now let's go to Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens, there it is again, and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another. Now look, that's gotta be time. Okay? That's gotta be time because you got new moons and you got, so what is a new moon? It's a month. It's 30 days. You know what I'm talking about. Which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, look, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me, for the worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Now, the only thing I can tell you this, I'm just going to stick this in, is that if it's a nuclear war, they still going to be people laying around. Said you look on the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me. That's the only way you can place it in there. Because it's not going to kill, it's going to kill everybody, but it's not, there's going to be a lot of things left. As far as I'm concerned, if it's an atomic explosion, it's not going to level the whole world. There's going to be stuff still here because they got to build that millennium temple with something. Okay? So let's go to Jeremiah 33 verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, now watch this right here, which ye say shall be desolate without man and beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man, without inhabitant, and without beast. Now, that's got to be after the Battle of Armageddon, when the streets are empty, but what's going to happen? They're going to come back. Watch. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, that's me and you, that is not Israel. Amen? The voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return, look, the captivity of the land. That's that 50th Jubilee. Everything's turned back. Amen. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land. As at the first, saith the Lord. All right? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place, which is desolate without man and without beast in all the cities, shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. Wow. In the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the vale. Look, cities. There's going to be an economy. We're not just going to have one city. That's where you and I are going to be. But there'll be other places because they're going to build houses. And in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel. Listen, they hold to those promises because that's all they got in the Old Testament. They have no New Testament promise. They don't even believe in a New Testament. So they have to go back to the Old Testament and look at all these promises that God's going to raise them up one day. All right? I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. God thought so much of David that he was called the son of David. And he was promised that he would sit as David on the throne, ruling what? 12 tribes of Israel. He's not ruling over us. Right? He's not ruling over us. He's ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, let's go to the chart just for a second. If you'll pull that up, and then we'll stop right here. Because we'll talk about David next week. Because that's some really good stuff about Israel as a nation, the time of the millennium. But just keep this in mind as we go any further. If you hear anything of time, it's in the millennium. And some of it's going to end, some of it's going to be blown up again, some of it's going to go away. Now the future home, once it sets on the earth, it's done for eternity. There's nothing going to happen different. Everybody got that? All right. So now where are we? Blow that up right here, please. Come this way. No, I'm sorry. This way. There you go. So now you got the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation 19, Battle of Armageddon, purging of the earth, Revelation 21 through 7. This is going to be the 1,000 years of millennial reign. Two prophets, 144,000, and us are going to live before the Battle of Gog and Magog. Everybody got that? So that's the position that we're in. So let's read this real quick. Revelation 20, verse 1. And then we'll stop right here. Give him a second to get back to it. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. So something's got to happen when we start coming down. When I say down, you know I don't mean we're up on a platform somewhere. I mean when we come out of this another dimension into this dimension, slower or faster, we're going to come in like this and come into that temple. Somewhere, though, Satan's going to have to be bound because, remember, he had a lot to do with the Battle of Armageddon. Because he's actually the only one that had anything to do with the Battle of Armageddon. Amen? It was his forces against his forces. Bless his heart, he can't even win. He's fighting against himself. Amen? And that's good because he's going to lose. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan. Now look, that's not three people or four, that's one. And bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they just sat on them and judgment was given. We'll get into that next week. Because then you got the Battle of Gog and Magog and then you've got the judgment. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, if you don't get born again and you pass away, you will not be seen in that 1,000 years. Everybody got that? You're not coming up as anything. The rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. What's the second death? God's going to kill your soul. It may be millions of years and billions of years, but one day your soul's just going to be nothing. It will be void of God, never to be remembered again. And you decide whether you want to take that path or not. Because God doesn't want to. He don't want you to take that path. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years he shall reign. Musicians, come. Rule and reign for 1,000 years. We don't have to prove it, but boy, think about, let's stand. Think about watching this come into being. Think about watching all this. You know, we're sitting there on the throne and we're able to, I don't think we're going to sit on the throne for 1,000 years and not move. Okay? No, don't get that. Because we always say we'll sit and rule and reign. No, we'll be all over the world. Travel like a thought. Travel like a thought. Anytime we want to travel somewhere, we'll travel like a thought. All right? So we'll do that. But we're going to have fun. Because you know what we're going to do? This is right here. This is going to be ingrained in our being because we're going to be the complete Bible, right? And we'll know that when these things start happening, we'll know what part of the Bible that is fulfilling. We fulfilled our part. Only part we got to fulfill is walk into that new Jerusalem. The one built by God. That's the only thing we're waiting on is that. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Monica's Sunday school class needs to practice at 12:40. Don't forget that. And pray for Brother Bob this afternoon.
So let us yours, Lord.
So glad I'm yours. Sing it to him.
So glad your mercy.
You need to be.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
Thank you, Lord.
So glad your mercy has followed me.
Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm glad he found me.
So glad he found me. And set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord.
So sing it one more time,
Jesus.
Sing it with all your heart.
So glad I'm yours, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So glad I'm yours.
Think about it.
As for me, so glad that you found me, and you set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad.
Take it to him as you're dismissed. Be back at 2:00.
Oh,